How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Over episode for you. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, Fred Capps of the Norman Transcript. We are at the United Center after the Thunder beat the Bulls 109-94. The Jimmy Butler flu game did not come to pass. He played about 28 minutes, was pretty much non-existent. Russell Westbrook misses his triple-double by one rebound. It was a pretty underwhelming game, all things considered.
There have been better flu games played in Chicago.
I think so. I think it's pretty fair to say that. This is a weird game. There was just not a lot to really.
I mean, the Thunder killed them.
The Thunder killed them. Yeah, and they just had nothing to go with their bigs. Kanter and Adams were both excellent tonight, and this is the kind of team that the Bulls struggle against.
The Thunder also played.
They're younger and more athletic.
They played particularly well.
Yeah.
They looked great. It was one of their best games of the season. Russ played really well, but it wasn't like one of those games where he played well because he completely took over. I didn't think he really needed to take over.
He was just kind of playing within the flow of the game, and the bigs were doing so much that he didn't really have to.
Right. Adams, really, the last month, has just taken on a new scoring load. He's kind of scoring the way and in the volume that I expected him to score at the start of the season, with the way he's just putting up floaters and finishing dunks and diving on pick and rolls, and that hook shot has gotten really good. And Kanter's passing, man, is just another level. He used to be a horrible passer. He was really bad at it, and he openly admits this. If you ask him about his passing and his improved passing, he openly just goes to the fact that he used to hate being double-teamed, and he dreaded it, and now he loves it when he gets double-teamed because he says he loves passing and he loves doing it. And he's not the best passing big man in the league, but he's good at it, and he did a really nice job passing out of double-teams and even triple-teams when the Bulls were really aggressively going at him on Monday.
Yeah, that's just definitely an area that he has gotten a lot better, and I want to touch on one thing I was a little bit encouraged by for the Bulls, which is Michael Carter-Williams. He looked pretty good actually going after his own offense, 6 of 11 from the field.
He played well.
This was one of his better games of the season, I thought. And also Cristiano Felicio, I believe this is his first double-double of the season, 11 points, 11 rebounds. He made a couple mid-range shots, and I asked him after the game if he's working on that. He says he's been working on it.
He hit that baseline shot. It looks good.
Yeah.
It rotates. Didn't it used to not rotate his shot, or am I misremembering?
I'll have to go back and look at some tape on that, but I was hoping to see some Samaje Christian. Why did he not play? Is he hurt?
Because Campaign's back. Campaign's back, Christian's out. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Samaje Christian anymore.
Did you end up getting to talk to Jarian about playing against his brother?
I talked to Jeremy about playing against Jarian. And Jeremy told me after the game, which is something that I haven't yet blogged about. We're recording this at what, 10:50 right now?
10:57.
10:57 p.m. in Chicago right now after the game. But I spoke to Jeremy. I haven't yet put it on the site, but I will put this on the site. I spoke to Jeremy, and he told me that I asked him if he's ever – because Jeremy Grant loves to dunk. So yeah. I asked him how disappointed he was that he didn't dunk on Jaren tonight. And then
– What'd he say?
He said he obviously wanted to dunk on Jaren tonight. And he told me that there was a time when they were in high school, when they were practicing. I think he said it was his sophomore year and Jaren's senior year. Jaren dunked on him in a scrimmage one day, and then he dunked on Jaren the next day. And the team went wild. So I thought that was a pretty funny story, which I will blog and put up. I unfortunately didn't get Jaren's perspective on that, though, because he was gone by the time.
He probably has his own version of events.
Oh, Yeah, obviously. But they're both great dunkers.
They are.
Jaren
hasn't really done it much.
No, but he has one of my favorite college dunks, which we were looking at. Was that you I was looking at it with
no, it wasn't.
Before the game? He has one of my favorite college dunks ever against Georgia when he was at Notre Dame. Ridiculous dunk. Worth YouTubing.
I'll check that out.
He actually almost, no exaggeration, he almost hits his chin on the rim.
Yeah, I'll have to look that up. I mean, so what else really stood out to you from this game? It was just kind of ugly, at least from the Bulls' perspective.
The Thunder just pounded them down low.
They did.
Which I was surprised about, because the Bulls have, like, especially at the starting lineup, like, they have some guys who will fight you and be physical down low. Thunder had a lot of success with the Adams-Kanter lineup. A lot of success. And I think one of the key to that was probably just that Adams did such a good job guarding on the perimeter when Mirotić was in the game.
That's a bad matchup for the Bulls.
Yeah, that allows, though, like if Mirotić is hitting threes, if he's getting open, and it's one of those games, I know he's shooting 31% or whatever, three, but if it's one of those games where at least he's getting up shots within the flow of the offense, then maybe Billy Donovan isn't so comfortable playing Steven Adams. Because you've seen those kind of situations where Adams has to guard away from the rim and he's a little less comfortable to do it. I thought Adams did a good job. And Billy noted this after the game, too, that he thought Adams did a good job guarding away from the rim in this game. And, like, that's something, because when they play together, like, people think of Adams as the five and Kanter as the four. But Adams guards the fours, not Kanter, because Kanter's got to stay as close to the rim as he possibly can on defense. And Adams is just obviously so much better and so much more able when he guards away from the rim. So Adams has to guard those guys, and when they are put in situations when they can play that lineup, like especially with the way those two are playing lately, this is their second game in the last couple of weeks where they've both gone for 20. It helps.
It takes so much off of Russ to have to do everything, and it just, in this game, kind of exposed just how little the Bulls have when they're not getting anything out of Jimmy Butler, because he played 28 minutes tonight, but he was basically a non-factor. You could kind of tell this was coming. He looked terrible. Coming into in the locker room pregame, he did not look good, and then it was bad. Then you could just tell pretty quickly that he just didn't have it. There was not going to be a Jimmy Butler flu game where he was going to go off and just put the Bulls on his back. He's not, by the way, Fred Hoiberg said this after the game, he's not even going to travel with the team to D.C. tomorrow. So he's going to miss that game. He'll rejoin them in New York.
He looked like... If it were totally unreported and nobody knew that he was sick coming into this game, and he just went out and tried to play, 5 minutes into that game, I would have looked at someone and been like, "Is Jimmy Butler really sick
something?" He didn't look good.
He just looked awful. Like, props to him for trying to play, because that guy's obviously tough as nails, because he was clearly incredibly sick and went out there and played super hard and tried to do something, but he was clearly just, he had a fever this morning, right? And he was just, he looked like he couldn't move.
It was bad. I mean, you knew he was going to at least try to play, because that's, you know, that's his reputation as a competitor. You know that, like, if he had gone off and
right.
had the no, play, that's great
questions
for his MVP narrative, for the All-Star narrative. Like, you knew that's what you're going to get out of him. And there was something that Billy Donovan said pregame about Russell Westbrook, about how it just makes your job as a coach so much easier. You don't have to worry about your best player playing hard every night. That's something that the Bulls absolutely have with Jimmy Butler, but he just did not, physically was not up to it tonight. He scored 1 point off a free throw, 0 for 6 from the field. Dwayne Wade had 22 points. He looked good at times, but just, they didn't get anything from anybody else, and I just don't know. I mean, this is just kind of the worst-case scenario for if Jimmy were to get hurt. Like, this is what kind of the Bulls look like, and it's not pretty.
I still love watching Dwayne Wade play, though.
He's super fun to watch. He still has flashes sometimes of the old Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, like those, even like just those plays where like he gets in the lane and gets under the rim, decides not to shoot, curls back around, and then like fades away from 8 feet. Like, he got old, he would have fouled him 3 times. On that exact move.
Yeah.
He's got such a... Look, he's obviously so much worse than, you know, prime Dwayne Wade.
Right.
And like,
he can still get to that level. He just can't do it every night anymore. And he's not... And by the way, he's not going to play tomorrow against the Wizards. The maintenance plan has gone into effect.
Yeah. But he's been inefficient this year, but, like, his game is still so fluid.
It is.
And, like, he's... Like, in his prime, he was the most fluid player in the league. Like, I would say he was that more than Kobe to me. Just so graceful with the ball. And he, like, still has that where you watch him and you don't need to know. You can know nothing. It could be your first time watching basketball. You'd be like, that guy. Even if he's missing shots, you'd be like, that guy is obviously good. Because he just plays, it looks like dance. You know, he plays a beautiful brand of basketball. So I was happy that I got to see a good Dwayne Wade game in person. Because he's always been one of my favorite players to watch. I was happy I got to see that in person. Because he was good tonight. He was one of the few bright spots offensively for Chicago.
Yeah, he was. So this Derrick Rose thing is weird.
It's so weird, man.
And he, like, before the game, we just, you know, the Knicks announced that he's not with the Knicks. Like, he just wasn't with the team, and nobody knew where he was during the, you know, during the game. I was, like, texting a few people trying to figure out what was going on. The reports kind of came out that nobody really knew where he was. Apparently now he's back in Chicago. It sounds like a family situation, but just everything about it is just so bizarre.
It's very modern-day media, the way that it's played out. In terms of the way that a little bit of information leaked out, and then a little bit more information leaked out, and then a little bit more information leaked out. The weird thing is that no one's come out and just been... It took like 4 hours for someone to come out and say, like, don't worry, he's okay.
And it was Joakim Noah after the game telling reporters that he's talked to him. They still haven't heard anything directly from the Knicks or from Derek's reps, which is just... weird. I mean, if it's a family emergency, then, I mean, I hope everybody in his family is doing okay. That's obviously the most important thing. But just everything about it, because at first, like, we were kind of hearing that maybe this was because he got benched the other night for Ron Baker. But it just is so, you know, I've covered Derek for a few years. It's just so out of character for him to just be unhappy with the way he's being used and just bounce without telling anybody. That would have just been really out of character. So the fact that it's a family thing, it makes more sense, at least.
Right. I mean, I'm just waiting for the details to come out because it's one of those things that we can't...
It would be irresponsible to actually speculate on what it is.
Right, and we can't evaluate it without all the information.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, there's no take to be made until you actually know what the heck is going on because it's so weird.
It's extremely weird.
It's such a weird... Maybe it's not a weird thing.
Like, I mean, we'll find
maybe
out.
Maybe when we know the information, we'll know it's not a weird thing. But the way that the information has come out and the way the narrative has progressed over the last 5 hours, weird.
Knicks are the Knicks, man.
Yeah, there's always drama with the Knicks. There's always some... Don't I know? There's always some amount of drama with the Knicks. All the time.
Yeah.
You think Michael Carter Williams is going to start playing better?
I think he's...
That's my guy.
He's been okay. I mean, he can't shoot, but he's been fine in other aspects of the game. I don't think he's the long-term starter for the Bulls, but I think he's a fine backup.
I thought he played well defensively tonight.
That's what he does. He'll always give you effort on that end. And, you know, with his, you know, his length, he'll just, like, get into guys. He'll pick guys up 94 feet, basically. Like, you know you're going to get that effort from him every night. That's why he's playing over Rajon Rondo, who, by the way, tonight was Rondo bobblehead night. He didn't get in. They were showing, like,
and
the promo.
And his photo His photo is on the away team credentials.
He was on the program tonight, too.
His photo was on the program. His photo was on the tickets.
And he's not in. And he was the only player that got a DNP. He got a, you know, Bobby Portis got in. He actually looked okay offensively, but closed with garbage time. Paul Zipser got in, didn't do anything. Isaiah Cannon got in for 8 minutes. Rondo's the only DNP on the Bulls' active roster. By the way, Denzel Valentine's playing tomorrow. Just a little housekeeping note.
That's like a nightmare for Bulls PR.
With the Rondo stuff?
Yeah, like it's not...
Well,
it's
not really...
There's
a
story nothing
anymore.
They can do. No. I mean that it was Rondo bobblehead all night. It's just so...
You should have scheduled that earlier in the season, or better yet, you should have maybe realized that signing Rajon Rondo is not the move in 2016.
So what's your educated guess on where Rondo plays next year?
China.
That is interesting.
Because, I mean, who's signing him at this point? He's pretty clearly shown that he's not a competent NBA point guard.
It's funny because he worked backwards, because normally if a player's in this situation and it's this type of player and you said to me, who's he going to sign with next year? I'd say the Kings.
No, you know who I would say is the Clippers.
Well, because of Doc.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Doc loves to sign guys that he coached who were good in 2009. anymore.
But it's like Doc doesn't get along with Rondo.
Doc doesn't get along with Rondo, and do you think Rondo would be down to play behind Chris Paul?
You think Rondo would be down to play for Doc?
No, I don't think so. So the whole thing is just so. It's really weird, just like what's happened to him. I mean, I know he hasn't been the same player since the ACL injury, but just everything about this. But you know, to his credit, he has been good about it. He has handled it well. He hasn't been a distraction. He's still been a good teammate, all this kind of stuff. He's handled it about as well as he could have, because I think he knows that if he flames out in another place, he probably doesn't get another NBA contract.
Yeah, it's just, it's like uncomfortable though, right?
It's a little uncomfortable, but you know, they want to get a look at the younger guys, so they're going to give Jaren those minutes and they're going to give
No, I'm not saying it's wrong. Like, you get Jaren Grant, I mean, he's an old second-year player, but he's a second-year player, and Michael Carter-Williams is someone who gave up talent to get. Like, Tony Snell's having a good year in Milwaukee, and he starts on what's going to be a playoff team and guards good players for them, and he won't start when Chris Middleton comes back, but he's at the very least a solid, helpful rotation guy. Like, you gave up talent to get him, and you got to give Carter Williams some kind of chance for that.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, he doesn't quite fit. I don't know what his move is. Like,
if I had to guess what happens to Rondo, I think he gets bought out after the trade deadline once they can't find it.
Yeah, what if like, I'm trying to think of what his next NBA destination is. Everyone seems to have a point guard. Like, what if it's
Cleveland?
Yeah, Cleveland is
I don't see LeBron signing off on that, though.
Yeah, Cleveland is obviously, like, some kind of possibility. Atlanta?
They've already got German Rondo. Why do they need regular Rondo?
Well, that's why I say that. Like, maybe he could be a mentor for Schroeder, and they need another point guard, or at least they want another point guard. Like,
yes.
I'm spitballing. Like, what if he just takes, like, I was just gonna say that. What if he takes the good, useful veteran role, and just like wants to mentor young guys? Because look, no one in their right mind is going to say that Rondo is not ridiculously intelligent.
He is.
But so
can he accept that he's not really a good NBA point guard anymore, and is willing to just be kind of a veteran leader type?
You know him a lot better than I do, so I can't comment on his
character. I don't know him that well. I've talked to him like twice.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, sometimes if the options are, you're saying China, so sometimes if the options are China.
China, you can make pretty good money in China.
Yeah, but you have to, like, live in China. Like,
what's wrong with living in China?
Nothing's wrong with living in China if you're from China and want to live in China, but if you're American and your family's here and your friends are here, maybe you don't want to go. You've made enough money. It's not
Josh
a movie.
Smith, Josh Smith is there. He can go.
That's an argument against God.
No. He and Josh Smith are boys, though.
Oh, that's right. He and Josh Smith are boys.
He can go kick it out to Josh Smith, get some assists off some Josh Smith made threes, get a statue made out of him, a musical written about him, like Stephon Marbury. It'd be great.
Marbury's got his own museum.
His own museum?
He didn't create it. There is an actual Stephon Marbury museum in the Shanghai.
I kind of want to go to Shanghai just to go to this.
Mm-hmm. It recently opened.
That's pretty good. That's fantastic. So this has gone completely off the rails. Do you have anything else you want to say about this game, Fred?
DeMontis Sabonis shot free throws again.
Oh, that's right. That's a thing you've been tracking.
Yes, three times. Three free throws.
That's good.
On Taj Gibson, he fouled him in the post. Thunder went to him a couple times in the post. Thunder going to him a little bit more in the post lately.
Oh, I also want to talk about the Nico Mirotic. One of the most amazing flops I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember this? Who was guarding him? Was it Laverne? I think it was Laverne.
In the worst beard versus beard matchup in the league.
Yes.
Two very bad beards. Joffrey's got perfect hair.
Have they ever made a chia pet out of Joffrey Laverne? Because that was a promotion that the Bulls did earlier this
Joffrey
season.
Laverne is a Kilometers Plumlee. He's a funny guy.
He seems like a funny guy.
He is a
funny guy. The Thunder just seem like they have a lot of cool personalities.
They do, actually.
Westbrook.
All the big men are goofballs. except for Sabonis. Sabonis is not a perfectly nice person, but definitely not a goofball. Adams is really funny. Kanter is, you know, the most, like, amicable athlete you could be around.
Nick Collison's a cool guy.
Collison is a really, not a goofball, but very cool guy. Joffrey is like funny and joking, and just they're all just approachable personalities. All the big guys are easy to get along with on this team.
Yeah, that's
yeah. Makes my job easy because half of my notes are just like, here's a funny thing that Enes Kanter said post game. Here's a funny thing Joffrey LeBrun said
post game. Scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss Dion Waiters?
Oh, 98.
That was your boy.
Yeah, he's everybody's boy. Dion was awesome to cover. He was great. When he came back to Oklahoma City, he had like his media availability at shoot around that morning went like, I forget, like 10 minutes long, which for a player is like so long.
For a player who's not like a star.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, Dion Waiters. And he went 10 minutes long. And the only reason he went shorter, he was just sitting there talking with us. And he was like asking every media member how they're doing. Like he was like so excited to be back. And the only reason that he didn't go longer was because the Heat PR guy came over and was like, all right, guys, I think you've had enough of Dion. He's got to go. Because the whole team was waiting on him, and he was just sitting there talking to us forever. So it was great. He's a great Instagram follow because he makes hilarious videos with his son, who is adorable.
I don't think I follow him. I should get on that.
Yeah, his son is, like, incredibly cute, and he makes really funny basketball videos of his son playing on, like, a 5-foot hoop, and
nice.
It's incredibly adorable.
So on that note, you can subscribe to Locked On Bulls and Locked On Thunder. You can find both of the podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, TuneIn, Google Play, everywhere else there's podcasts. Please make sure you leave us lots of 5-star reviews. Tell your friends to subscribe. Check out the other podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network as well. And Cody and I are going to be back with you tomorrow after the Wizards game. Fred, when is your next episode?
Tomorrow. It's going to be tomorrow. I'll be who the Thunder played. The Thunder played home against Memphis on Wednesday, so that's a big game. So I'll be preview that game. I'll probably do Twitter questions like I always do and preview that game. Talk about Marc Gasol, who's like maybe my favorite player. Love Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
So good. Love watching him now that he shoots threes too.
Yeah.
So good. So that'll be fun. You can follow me on Twitter at Fred Katz. Follow Sean on Twitter at Hikin.
Absolutely.
HIGHKIN. And see you next time.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys.